So the title of my message is One Chance, One Chance. I think of all the movie quotes. That was one time, sweetie. Who knows that one? What's the other one I thought of? You got one shot. That's Eminem's song, One Shot. And but this is about one chance. You might have, I got a haircut yesterday. Sorry, I just digressed a little. It looks all right. It's good. Yeah, yeah. So I was sitting in the chair, and I'm not one to you know, look closely in the mirror every day. It's the one time I look at my hair is for you guys when I quickly put some product in on Sunday morning, and so, you know, I was sitting in the chair, and of course they got great big mirrors, and you look at this mirror, and my hair was just out there, and it was way too long, uncontrollable, and I'm like, all the grey hair was coming out, and I could really see lots of grey. I'm like, wow. I like, gee, I look exactly like my dad used to when, you know, he's got grey hair, and he's very white now, but from what I remember, I'm like, man, I look just like my dad. This is terrible. So anyway, I got a haircut, and so when I obviously do your hair, it's wet, and you don't see the greys, and it's all good, but now it's short, and there's less grey to see, I hope. But I've been thinking, I want all you guys to help me out, okay? I want a thumbs up or a thumbs down, okay? Should guys with grey hair colour their hair? No, 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 no. Sweet. It's decided. It's decided. The silver law. Sorry. So anyway, I was preparing my. I've been flat out all week and been praying. God, what am I going to preach on? What do you want me to share? And I sort of thought, okay, well, we've had you know, last couple of weeks we moved house and there's been big stuff going on for us and big changes, lots of excitement, and I thought, well, you know, there's so much that I could speak about that, and I was preparing all that yesterday, and then at 8:30 God gives me a different word last night, 8:30 last night, and I was like, okay. So I was pleased this morning when there was very few of you here at 10 o'clock when we started, and I was like, phew. It's okay, we can skip through this and shoot through early, but because my notes are very short, you know, I've copied scriptures in full to try and fill it out a bit to make another page, but really there's only a couple of points. So we'll see how we go with it, but praise the Lord, he is at work and he will speak through me, I hope, because I'm very excited about the message that I've got. I think it's spot on. And what God wants us to hear today. So I was actually inspired last night by chance. I just imagined Patrick Humberstone preaching my scriptures, and you know he's an amazing preacher, right? We had him here a few weeks ago, or month, or whatever it was, a while back. I love him because he's so energetic, and he preaches with his arms, and he's just always ready, like he's going to take off on a race. He's like, "Come on, guys! You know this is how he preaches." And I thought, "Yes, I've got to do it like that. I've got to try and be like Patrick because he's amazing." And I'm going to try and be animated for you guys, because if you can remember me being silly trying to be animated like Patrick, and that's how you remember the message God has, then that's cool. So I'm going to try and do that and try and step out of my comfort zone, because I'm normally a very chilled, mellow sort of guy, right? So I've got to try and be a bit more dynamic. Anyway, let's look in our Bibles. Everyone's got their Bible today. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. If we can open it up. It's a great little parable here. Verse 30 we're looking at. Throw your hand up if you got it. One, two, three, four. Good, good. Okay, here we go. Then Jesus answered and said, okay, so this is where the lawyer guy is asking Jesus, well, who's my neighbour, right? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departing, leaving him half dead. We know this story, right? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, and when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, said, take care of him, whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, there's so many good messages in that parable, which so many angles we could look at, but this is an obscure one, an unusual one. I want to focus on verse 31, now by chance. And, in our lives, we have so many chance things happen. You know, just random stuff happens, right? So, and going back to our moving house, okay, so we bought this property and we've been wanting it for a long time, and we were talking to the real estate agent and having a look and trying to work out how we could make it work, et cetera, et cetera. And then they said they're going to take it off the market for a couple of years. We thought, great, that works for us because then we can save the deposit we need. We can, get things in order that we thought we needed to do. And then by chance, a friend of mine drove past and saw a home open sign out the front of it. So the agent didn't mention to us that they were putting it back on the market. And it turns out that they had a big marketing campaign from, full page in the West, and they were trying to sell the place, even though they told us it's off the market. And we were a bit disappointed. But it was only by chance that a friend of mine went past and let me know and said, hey, by the way, because I wasn't in the area. And which was great, and so that's how we're able to keep our foot in the door. And so many things happen all the time. Sometimes they're big things like that by chance we happen to see something, we run into someone, and you think, wow, what are the chances of that happening? And there's too many for me to even think and remember because it's such a common occurrence. Even things like accidents that happen, by chance, things just because of this and this and this, then suddenly this event happened, this big event, and we put it down to chance, we put it down to coincidence, we put it down to just random stuff. And how many times have we said, oh, you never to a friend, oh, you never believe this, you won't believe this, is such a random thing happened to me today, right? Anyone ever said that? Yeah, it happens all the time. So And I look at this scripture where Jesus is saying now by chance, because with our property, so many of you know, it's been a long drawn out process, right? So we this was like probably 12 months ago that we started, looking at this 18, I'm told, sorry, correction, Brother Brains Trust, 18 months. It's a long time, and every step of the way there was a hurdle or different things come up and different opposition and different things, but one thing that we lent on was, God is our provider, he's in control, he will make a way where there is no way, he opens the doors that no man can open, so we can rest in what God is doing or has for us. We hold this situation with our hand open, not our hand closed, right? So we give it to God and we trust God. And so my whole premise about handling different difficult situations or trying situation is that God's in control and there's no such thing as a coincidence. He's got it under control. I don't have to strive. I don't have to fear. I don't have to battle because he's in control. And then we look at this verse and Jesus is saying, now by chance. And some versions say by coincidence, right? And there's one time coincidence is mentioned in the Bible, and that's here in the versions that use it. And I'm like, hang on a minute, how is it that Jesus is saying it happened by chance? It happened by coincidence. And because, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those that love God and call. Sorry, I've got to get a bit more animated for you. Called according to his purpose, right? So I better not hide behind this lectern here. So, how does that correlate with chance? This chance, Jesus, you can't be saying chance when all things work together for my good, and that's all things, not just the big things. I can believe God for the big things. He's in control. He's going to make a way with a new job, whether it's whatever it is in the big things in life, buying a house or a car. God, we give it to you. You're in control. You can open the door for me. And that and then, but does that mean that the little things, the little random stuff is just by chance? Because we can easily say, yes, God's in control with the big stuff, but then we dismiss the little stuff, right? We can say, oh, you know, something random happened to me. I ran into so-and-so, or this weird little thing happened to me. And we just dismiss it as chance or coincidence or what have you. So I'm looking at Luke 10, 31, and I'm just like a bit conflicted. I'm like, how does this work? How does it, how can the God who works all things together for my good, also in Isaiah 46 it says, you know, I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. From the east, I'll summon a bird of prey. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purposes. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. That does not line up with, now by chance, a man walked down the road. How do I reconcile these two things? So we've got to look deeper at the word chance, and it's chance or coincidence. They're both interchangeable, and they're translated from the Greek word synkerion or sukuria, which is also the same word. This is a combination of two words, okay? The syn or su is sun, and kurios is the other part. So sun means together with, together. So happening, and you know, you look at the definition of coincidence, right, in the dictionary and the world's definition, it's two things coming together with no apparent connection. Okay, so there's just random stuff that comes together, which is like you'd never see it together, right? It's just coincidence, right? That's what we know it to mean. But they forget the other half of it. The curious, well, they omit, I should say, they omit. The kuros. The kurios is from the derivative of kuros, which means supreme authority. So the apparent word that we see in the dictionary is apparent, right? Because it's things coming together with in conjunction with supreme authority. So chance and coincidence, the definition is actually two things coming together by God's own hand. It's not a coincidence. It's not by chance. It's by God. Yeah? And so it's a God thing. So all these things the random things that we encounter every day, every week, every month, you know, God's got a hand in it. We say, yeah, it's by chance or by coincidence. But God's there. You know, you look at Job, he's a guy who had some pretty bad luck on the same day. Let me read this in full because my notes are running out. In Job chapter 1, verse 13, now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were ploughing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven, burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came up from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, it fell on the young people, and they are all dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Job is a guy who had some pretty bad luck, and all these things that happened by chance on the same day, you know, if we look at it, what a coincidence is that? You know, how could all that happen? But we know, because we read Job, we can see the God perspective on the whole story. You know, we know that God's a part of it. And you know, in our lives, bad stuff happens too. Hey, we praise God in the good and the bad, right? And we know that that God moves in every part of our life. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 18, King Ahab. there was a King Ahab was going up against Samaritans, and he decided to go in with the into the battle and let Jehoshaphat put on the kingly robes and pretend to be Ahab. And it turns out that this random guy, you can look it up in 2 Chronicles 18, just randomly shoots an arrow up into the air. It comes down and gets King Ahab in disguise, right between the joint in his armor, and kills him. Now, is that random? Is that coincidence? Is that chance? No, God already told the prophet that it was going to happen. And we see throughout the Old Testament where they're casting lots. You know, casting lots is something that you'd think is purely by chance, and yet they used it so many times to decide the Lord's will. Jonah on the boat, that everyone on the boat said, okay, let's cast lots, see whose fault this storm is, right? Jonah drew the short straw. It's you. King Saul, you know, when Jonathan tasted the honey, he said, let's cast lots, let's see who's cost us this battle. And Matthias, who replaced Judas, you know, it was decided with casting of lots. Now, to us, that seems crazy, you know, today. You say, okay, well, let's roll the dice. Let's roll the dice and we'll decide who's gonna do this or do that and see what God's will is by rolling the dice. But that's it's hard to get our head around how God moves in the little things. And so the big thing that I want to get across today is that God is moving every minute of every day. And I'm so glad we sang that song this morning. You know, even when we don't see it, He's working. You know, and these things that we do notice them. We do notice when God's moving, when God's creating a connection, when God's opening a door, but we dismiss it as random, and we dismiss it as coincidence, we dismiss it as chance. You know, one of the things that I've always been challenged with is the you know, the Great Commission, reaching the lost. And I think that's the case for most of the Western Church, you know, because you know, we think, well, how do we do that? How does that look? How does it work? And fear keeps us bound. Fear doesn't allow us to step out. We feel isolated. We feel like it's what can I do? What can I say? How can I? We know God's with us. We sow the seed, and God, you know, waters it, and that sort of thing. But God wants to work through you in every situation, and I believe that He's putting scenarios across your path that we previously have dismissed as coincidence or chance, but it's really God wanting us to step into something, wanting us to step forward rather than step back or step sideways and think, wow, that was weird, that was a bit odd, that was a bit different. Because we need to change our mindset about how we see situations that we encounter every day. We need to not just think, okay, we're just going about doing our thing and everything's just a random chaos that we're walking through. It's purposeful. God has a purpose in every single situation that we have in our day, every day. And He is using what we might call chance or random or coincidence to open the door to allow His purposes to be fulfilled. So when it comes to reaching the lost and seeing, encountering people, engaging people and speaking to people, we've got to recognize that we're not on our own. That time that we caught someone's eye and we had a little smile and we're like, well, that was a bit weird, and sometimes it can be a bit awkward. You know, God's caused that to happen. God's there. He's wanting us to say, okay, what's the next step? How can we step into what He's purposed for that little moment in time? You know? We so easily stand back and dismiss stuff and dismiss it or feel uncomfortable, feel awkward, because we look at it as a chance or a random thing and we don't see God's purpose behind it. We easily dismiss everything and miss the opportunity to fulfill God's purpose. You know, we've got to ask ourselves, are we going to live for God, or are we just going to play church? You know, if we're going to live for God, then we want to fulfill what He wants to do. We want to be a tool in His hand. We want to be able to move when He opens the door. And we think, yes, I want to move into a new car when He opens the door. I want to move into a new house when He opens the door. And that's all great, you know, He moves in that way too. But in the little things, he wants us to move as well, you know. And so we need to ask ourselves, what does God want me to do in every situation, in this situation and every situation? You know, chance is not something you know, it says in the Bible, don't test the Lord your God, right? So we don't look at chance that way, but we just look at it as an opportunity for Him that He's moving and opening the door. So we need to be prepared, and there's seven steps that I've come up with for it to allow us to work with the chance encounters that God creates every day in our life. And it's every day. Like, it is every day. You stop and think about it. It's every day. There's a chance encounter. There's a chance. There's a moment that we see someone, that we do something that God has orchestrated specifically for you. Specifically for you to do something. Number one, first step. Just checking the time if it's not too early to wrap up, because I want everyone to stand up for this. This is good. If we can all stand up, please. I'm going to go through these steps. And when you guys, if you guys want to be more effective for the kingdom, you want to be more effective for what God has for you. Because let me tell you, if we are sitting like a stun mullet and not being effective, then the blessing and the anointing can't flow in our life. You know, we're tying God's hands for what He wants to do in our life. So we need to be open, we need to be prepared, and we need to be ready and available to do what God wants so He can move through us and in us, and then we'll see the fruit of it in our lives. So if you are the first step is to make a choice to make a difference. We got to choose to say, yes, okay, God, I'm gonna step out. I want to be the difference. I want to be the difference in my community, in the people around me. I want to be the difference in this dark world. You know, the light that we have is not shone unless we shine it. If you know what I mean? I've always struggled with people who say, just be yourself and you're shining your light. Well, I'm very often I look just like everyone else. So how do I shine my light and taking advantage of these chance encounters is shining a light by stepping out and stepping forward. So number one, we make a choice and we say, yes, okay, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to take advantage of take those opportunities that God puts before me where He wants me to step out. We've got to be outward focused, not inward focused. It's so easy to be inward focused, focused on what we got to do. Okay, I've got to do this, this, and this. And then we don't see some of those chance encounters which God puts before us. So outward focused, open and ready to see what God might have for us to step into. And number three, be aware. We've got to have an awareness about us of where God might be moving. What's God want to do through me today? Number four, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never stops talking. It's just the noise that drowns Him out, right? So the Holy Spirit never stops talking to us, and we've got to turn all the other noise off and listen and be ready to listen in the moment He calls us to step out. Number five, we've got to have courage. We've got to be brave. You know, and that's part of what I was saying before is God's with us. He's right there. We're not alone. There's nothing to be scared of when God is for us and God is orchestrating it. You know, it's a win-win situation. You can't lose. So be brave in it. And then we take action. We step out and we don't know what that action might be, and which is why we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be close to God so that He can direct you. But it might be saying, hi, how are you going? How's your day? Nice to see you. Nice shirt you got on there. Give someone a compliment, whatever it is, and then you just don't know where God's going to take it from there. You know, but that's that initial step that we take to say, hi, how are you going? Engaging with someone outside this circle right here. Step 7, invite them to church. That's how we build the kingdom, yeah? Have a conversation, invite them to church. And just being more open and understanding that God is moving in every minute of every day on our behalf and to fulfill his purposes. If we can just close our eyes, just lift up your hands in surrender to the Lord. Lord, we just give you glory and praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every little thing that you bring across us. You bring things to us for our provision. You bring things to us for our blessing. But you bring things to us for your kingdom too, Lord. And we don't want to be on this relationship with you, Lord. We want to give back. We want it to be a two-way street, Lord. So we just surrender now. We lift our arms in surrender right now, Lord, to your purposes. We surrender to your kingdom and what you would have to do through us and in us, Lord. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your kingdom purposes fulfilled, Lord, and we want to reach others. We want to share the good news, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray right now. Number one, we make the choice to make a difference. We put our hands up and we say, yes, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord, for your kingdom. We're going to be outward focused. We're going to be aware. Lord, Holy Spirit, let your words be loud in our ears. Let us be tuned into you and what you have to say to us in every situation, Lord. I just declare courage right now over every single person that's here. I just declare courage, Lord, courage that only you can give, Lord Jesus, the strength to step out in a chance encounter that you have orchestrated, Lord. That we might be able to take that action and open our mouth and say hello to someone and say, how are you going? And say, and meet a need, Lord Jesus. Lord, your Holy Spirit prompts us all the time, but now we're gonna receive that and then take a step towards your purposes and do what you would have us to do, Lord. So, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, that changing our understanding of chance and coincidence and random is a part of building your kingdom, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have to do through us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be established in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone needs some prayer, feel free. Oh, Robbie.
Sure, Robbie. Just want to share a little bit when Cam was preaching about chance and coincidence. Back in January this year, I was taking a truck to Port Hedland. And I drove through the town of Meekatharra, which some people are familiar with, and anyone that's driven out back roads knows there's nothing between towns and roadhouses. And I misread the sign where it said, next fuel, 160 km, and it was 275 km. And I'm driving up the road and the truck, it's on the red, I turn the aircon off, I back off the speed trying to get kilometres, and there's just no way I was going to make it. And I drive around the corner now. Is this chance or is this coincidence? There's a big prime mover broken down on the roadside. He went down with air brakes. And it was Castle Contracting was the name of the company. I'd done some work for them. And I pulled up and I said to the guy, I've made a mistake. And I didn't actually read the sign correctly. How far is the roadhouse? He said, it's another 90 km. I didn't have enough fuel for another 10. And I said, have you got any spare fuel? He says, I have. He says, I've got 1,800 litres. I said, well, I don't want 1,800 litres. I just want 20 or 30. Now, we had no jerry cans. We had no hoses. And you'd be familiar with the big prime movers. They've got old plastic pipes sticking out the sides of them with red flags on them. We got a couple of them, joined them together. I walked off in the bush, and I found an old water, a jerry can was for water, but it was dry. And we got the fuel into it. Got the thing going, and it nearly used all that fuel, the full 20 litres, to get to the roadhouse. Now, when Cam was preaching this morning about how chance and coincidence, I'll just leave it with you, is that chance or coincidence? Or is it God's provision? I believe it's God's provision. If ever you drove out there, you would know exactly. Cam would have spent some time out and them roads, you would know there's nothing there. There's literally nothing there. I come across this truck broke down, and I had 1,800 litres of fuel. I mean, because it was a big prime mover, he had a 100-ton dump truck in the back, and he was waiting for 20 hours for a mechanic to come out from Mount Newman to repair him. But, you know, just God's provision. And honestly, I spoke to the guy for quite a while. There's a young Irish guy who was driving the truck, and I spoke to him for quite a while. And he says, I'm going back to Ireland. It's 40 degrees. You can imagine what it's like up there in January. It really was hot. And he's waiting for 20 hours for a mechanic. And I just, if there's a downside to it, I just missed my opportunity to witness to him. But it's God's provision. It's just amazing.
That's awesome. Thanks, Robbie. Yeah, God can provide in the miraculous ways, and I've experienced similar type things. It's fantastic. But you know, God is there in every situation, and He's for us, not against us. So we can have confidence that God will have our back in every situation. And when it comes to stepping out, you know, Maria's got something to share as well. When it comes to stepping out, you know, you have confidence that God is not going to leave you high and dry. Everything that He has begun, every good work that He has begun, He will complete it. And so we can stand on that.
Amen to that. I just want to share with you what the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance back quite a few years ago when we first came to WI. Actually, it wasn't the first time. I just moved from Queensland to here with Debbie and Johnny. Debbie was just a year, not even a year, was 9 months old, and Johnny was 3 years old. And I've been before here, and they prayed for me. When I left, Matilda insisted to pray, Yvette to pray for me. And she said, well, it's okay, I have no word, but I just tell you, you know, you be careful because some animals, they might jump before you. And I said, thank you very much, God bless. And I left to Queensland, and I come back when I sold my house 2 years and a half later. Nothing happened on my way to Queensland. No animal jumped in the front of me. But when I come back, and we were on the Nalabo from Iwukla, driving towards inside of WI, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. We left with the children. We left where we slept overnight, and a bus 7 o'clock in the morning is passing through with such a high speed. Suddenly, behind the bus, this big kangaroo jumps in the front of me. My car hits my bonnet, and my radiator. Bonnet just jumped in the front of my windscreen. The children that were sleeping in the car, sleeping, and I'm just saying, Lord, just help me, Lord. And He gave me enough to see the white line on the left side of the road, and keep driving straight. Thank God, it was a straight road, and I stopped the car. And when I assessed the damage, and I saw that big hole in the radiator and the water rushing up. The kids possible wake up by then. And I said, Lord, I thank you because you are with me and you protect me from accidents. And it could be worse, but I bless your name. I know you're going to help me to get to the next petrol station, which it was 40 kilometers away. Now, I went every 3 or 4 kilometers. I have to go very slow. The thing hit up. I have to stop the car, put another bottle of water. I had about 2 liters of water, all the water with us. And I do that 3 or 4 times. And I say, Lord, now I run without water, but I trust in you. I never said that to the children. You know, never said nothing to my little Johnny. He was too little. He was just 3 years old. And then here comes this truck, overtakes me, and then suddenly stops in the front of me. And he said, ma'am, are you okay? Do you need help? I said, yes, I do, but I have no idea how you can help me. Because he was having diesel. I need the water. He went and bought a water and put into my car. And he said to me, you know what? Maybe we can release the fan, because the bumper bar was into the fan as well, squashing the fan. He got a rope, pulled the bumper bar in the front, and he said, now the fan is going to work. And the fan started working, and he gave me that, made me switch off the engine and pull me behind him into the petrol station, another possible 35, 38 guys, how far it was. And there was a freezing cold in the morning because I was in the south, in South Australia. And no, in WI we were there, but freezing cold. And he said to me, go inside of the petrol station there and we're gonna try to fix your car. Three men gathered together, and I went inside. I bought that stuff which glued the radiator, the hole, and I went out in the freezing cold and filling up that hole, and my car never went from halfway the temperature in from there another 1,500 kilometers to Perth. Glory to the Lord. Wow. This is how the Lord knows how to work. And my little kids, they were so little, they were in the car. Praise be the Lord for that.
Awesome. Thanks, Maria. That's awesome. Oh, still coming. It's testimony morning this morning.
Apparently God wasn't finished. Okay, so I didn't actually want to come up here, but God's pressing it on my heart to say, get up there, you need to give this testimony about what this happened. And I'm like, God, I don't actually even remember all the details because this is years ago, but I'm going to do my best. So I was at the Morley Galleria and I was about to leave home. It was in the evening time, maybe 5 or 6, where I was at the top car park and there weren't very many cars around. And I'm about to leave and I must have been there for dinner or something, can't even recall that. And I'm about to drive out and God says, go pray for this guy over there. And I think it was a trolley guy. And I'm like, yeah, nah. Not sure I really want to do that. Anyway, but because the Holy Spirit prompts you, you drive around the car park for a bit, going, okay, was that really God? No, that probably wasn't me. Okay, I wouldn't tell myself that. Anyway, so I basically, long story short, pluck up the courage and get out the car and say, excuse me, this might seem a bit strange, but is there something that I can pray for you? And it turns out this guy's a Muslim and he's a student, and I'm still struggling to remember what he had. He had an issue in his life at the moment. I can't remember if it was getting through his exams or if it was a visa situation. I can't actually recall now. I'm sorry. Thank goodness God knows. But anyway, so I pray for him and he's very grateful because he's like, how did you know? I said, you know, God just asked me to come over here and pray for you, and prayed for him. And I think he was like, oh, that was strange. And anyway, I think he wanted to thank me because somehow I became friends with him on Facebook because he said, can I contact you to thank you? And I don't usually do that with strangers either, by the way. Anyways, but I was just wanted to read you something he said because he's contacted me actually on and off for years, and he wants to catch up and have a chat actually. And last time I was pregnant, it was all too hard, and I said, I can't right now. And he contacted me later to say what you prayed for. I think it was his exams. It happened. So something he couldn't do, God came through for him for. And anyway, this chat that happened, well, this was probably about a year ago now, but let me just see where he wrote it. He says, Angela, I'm always curious about how did you know that time I needed help or I am stuck about something. I never forgot your help and always pray for your success. And then we had a chat, and even though I wasn't able to talk to him, I could at least explain the gospel to him. And he, being Muslim, has heard about Jesus. And, you know, he's praying for me and my success. This isn't a normal occurrence for me, and hopefully it's something I'll be a bit more brave to do. But it's actually always blessed me that he stayed in touch and he wanted to meet, and I was at least able to share the gospel over a Facebook chat. It doesn't have to, it can look different in today's society, but I think this is what God wants us to do, because years later he still was touched by that one moment that I thankfully was obedient. But just be encouraged to step out, because it's always scary because we think we're going to look stupid, but you know, God's got something he wants to meet their need with. So
fantastic, thank you. Well, I think we can be excited because we're going to hear a lot more testimonies going forward in the coming weeks. Yeah, let's all get stuck into it and be brave, step out, know that God's with you, he's on your side, he's not going to leave you high and dry, he's not going to lets you look too stupid or whatever our fears are, they're false evidence appearing real, right? It's not right. It's not true. Don't be scared. Just step out, be brave, and listen to the Holy Spirit. So can we all stay for a cup of tea, cup of coffee? And the chairs need to be packed up, please. We've got Epic this week. Thanks, everyone.